Again, very thankful for all that are present. We do have a number of visitors, and we're grateful that you're here. It is wonderful to see everyone out to prove some of the folks wrong that people do not come when I'm preaching. So appreciate that very much. You fooled everybody. And Mabel did take up for me. I will say that. I won't tell you who said all the rest of it, but Mabel did take up for me. We're talking about being overly concerned, that is, worried about things. And it is one of those things in life where it is a hard thing. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now that it is a struggle for all of us because we think we have all these excuses and we think, well, I guess we think if we do that, somehow or another, everything will be just fine. And it's actually just the opposite. And Jesus talks about that. And I talked about this. I want to remind us, Alfred E. Newman, one of my heroes. He said, what, me worry? He didn't concern himself with anything. If you ever read Mad Magazine, he was just oblivious to all the things going on. Although they covered everything that could possibly happen in the world and have for since the 50s. So, anyway. Again, he wants us to do things. He wants us to take care of things. But he does not want us to worry about things we can control, things we can't control. He just doesn't want us to do that. Because he knows it's harmful. He created us and he understands what will cause us harm, both physically and spiritually. And sometimes we just act as if he's not there. We constantly are thinking, well, maybe God's not in existence, so we live our lives that way. It does impact us. He just doesn't want us to worry. And I use this one. I'm going to read it again. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need. It's not a matter of this. It's not a matter of any of those things. For I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Every family in this room, recently, all of us have gone through things where someone in our family or something in our family happened, and it'll happen. We have a choice with that. We can either turn it over to God, or we can just drag ourselves down with it. When someone leaves us life, we can leave with a smile on our face to some degree and making sure our lives are right, or we can leave and just let that destroy us. Everything in life is that way. When we look at this, continuing on and from where we studied earlier, Matthew 6, 25 through 38. I want to read this again. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you, and we talked about that verse, or maybe extend your life somewhat. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? It's unnecessary. It's not consistent with nature. It's not reasonable. It's not helpful. But it also shows a lack of faith. Now, how do I know this? Because in 30b through 32, he says this. O you of little faith. And talking to those Jews, he's letting them know you lost your faith in God. You remember what the very last book that he revealed in Malachi, he said, if you'll just do what God says, he'll open up the windows of heaven. He'll shower you with all of these things. Therefore, do not, again reminding, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, those that you need all these things. He said, are you unaware of the fact that the Creator doesn't know? Don't you understand everything that you go through? He's quite aware of that. Don't you understand that He understands your body completely? Don't you know that He created your mind? Of course He knows all of that. We must completely depend on God and trust Him fully. We use this passage a lot. But you note in this, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all. That doesn't leave room for being worried about anything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. When we have problems in our life, trust Him. Whatever comes of it, trust Him. And don't lean on your own understanding. It is so easy for me to figure things out, isn't it you? I mean, I'm sitting there just agonizing over things. If I just turn it over to God. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Well, if I'm not going to be anxious, what am I going to do about that? But in everything, by prayer and supplications, make your requests be named to God, made known to God. But don't just do that. Do it with thanksgiving. Whatever comes in life, I am certain that Paul thanked him for the amount of food he had when he was in need. And I am certain Paul thanked him when he had plenty to eat. Because he knew whatever he got, how much he got, came from God. A prayer of faith proves our dependence on God. This passage of Scripture talks about spiritual dependence, physical dependence, both in our health and in all of our needs. It is a clear passage of Scripture that he's trying to get them to not be so concerned about what they're going through. So he says in James 5:14 through 18, is anyone among you sick? Well, just worry about that. Don't do anything about it. Just worry about it. And he said, no. You call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. That's powerful. Confess your trespasses one another and pray ye for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer. That's the key of a righteous person or a righteous man. Avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Just another human being born in this world. And we see all the frailties in him and we see his life. And he says, but let me tell you something about him. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And what did God do? It did. It did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. That's powerful. That's saying he's just like you. You believe in it. Pray like Elijah. Know that you're dependent on God. Understand that in all of these things, whether it's sickness, whether it's spiritual sickness, or any physical need you might have, pray to him. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, why would James talk about that? Because James believed fervently in prayer. He knew it would accomplish what God wanted it to if we just talked to him. How many of us, think about this for a moment. It's been a long time since I was young. But when I grew up, I knew that there were certain things that it was not the will of my father to ask him. Didn't you? I knew that if I went to him, he was going to say, you can't have that. It's not for your own good. I also knew that if I needed something, he would answer that and he would give it to me. Isn't that amazing how we can understand that even as a child? Well, how much more, Heavenly Father? When we look at this and we think about it, what a powerful thing in prayer. I can have my sins forgiven as a Christian. I can pray for the sick. I can pray for the things I might need. And I can ask God to do some powerful things. And he says, I'll do them. But you got to do it in faith. You can't just do this. See, we show by our actions our unbelief. You know, we've heard this so many times. If you're going to pray for rain, carry an umbrella. It's one of those things where we need to think in terms like that. And all that's saying is just believe in it. And God will answer. Now, how do I overcome this? It's difficult. I live a life where there's a lot of things going on around me. And it is so easy for me to get bogged down with these things. But he gives at least three keys here and how to overcome this. And I will tell you, and I put that up there, it's more difficult for me to practice and teach. But I can teach you this, but I will guarantee you, Christ practiced it in his life. He was not overly concerned. It was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. He understood what this was all about. He did not in any way do something that he told us not to do. When we look at this, we put God first in our life. Isn't this an easy thing, right? Well, no, I've got all these other things going on. Now, wait, when we put God first in our life, we were talking about in this class this morning, it may be just taking care of the things He's given me. Now, I can overdo that. It may be taking care of some spiritual things. And I could overdo that. When I'm saying that, when I'm talking about that, is if I spend all of my time on one thing and I don't balance this wheel that I'm rolling down the road in, then I'm not going to be pleasing Him. Everything He's told me to do, I've got to do it, and I've got to put it in proper perspective. You see, I can't go out and just spend all my time teaching the lost without taking care of my body. He tells me to do that. That's a command from Him. I can't do that without doing some other things to provide for my family. He's told me to do that. But I've got to put it in perspective. Which ones are more important? I've got to know at that moment which ones are more important. And I will say this. In the discussion we had this morning, some of you weren't in here, and I won't say who it is just for the sake of this going on in the air, but the thing was about doing some gardening and some lawn work. But I will tell you this. If someone comes along down the street and I'm doing my lawn work and they come up and talk to me about that, that's my opportunity. See, I will stop doing that and talk to them about spiritual things because I understand which one's more important. But now, is both of them important? Absolutely. We have scriptures that tell us that we don't do things in such a way that it would degrade the name of Christ. So, He says this in Matthew 6:33. But, as a result of what I've been talking to you about, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things to be added unto you. So, where's my priority? My priority has always got to be spiritual things when I've got the choice. I need to take care of those things. We spend too much time on the external and not enough on the internal. We're constantly worried about what we look at like on the outside, but we don't concern ourselves so much with what we look like on the inside. Let me ask you a question. What do most people see? When we talked about that this morning, what do people see in us? Well, He wanted the church at Colossae. He wanted those Christians there to be seen for what they were internally. He was more concerned about that. Watch how you walk. Watch how you do things. Because you are always dealing with people on the outside. Can we be a hypocrite sometimes? We absolutely can. Is it harmful? It absolutely is. Still does not change what God said. I need to make sure I do that. So we have a choice in this. Now I'm going to go back to the therefore. We can't serve two masters. He said, be careful. What you'll end up doing is you're going to be spending your time prior to all this discussion in trying to accumulate earthly wealth. And then after you've got it all accumulated, he said, guess what happens? It goes away. Either you go away or it goes away. And then what's left? What do you really have in life? So he says, in Matthew 6:24, before the therefore, he says, no one can serve two masters. I would argue that we've got a choice in this. If we're going to worry about it, I'll tell you who our master is. It's not God. And that's what he says. Our master is going to be the riches of this world because that's what we're concerned about. We're more concerned about that than we are about doing what God says and putting things in His hand. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and riches or mammon. You just can't do it. You got a choice in life. You can have things of this life and use them properly, but if you're serving it, and if that's your priority in life, no wonder you're worried, because you can't get enough of it. And that's what, again, we've been studying in the book of Ecclesiastes. You just can't get enough. There's not a day goes by that you're not thinking about how to do more. That's not what He wants us to do. That shows a lack of dependence on Him and more of a dependence on things of this life. And we need to be careful with that. And this sounds so trite, doesn't it, sometimes? Live one day at a time. But it's not trite at all. You know why? Christ said in Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry. Again, how many times has He said this in this context we've been reading today? Do not, do not, do not. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I have a day. And I'll tell you right now, I was sitting in the seat back there thinking about this actually before I ever got up. And I was thinking in terms of, what's interesting about this is this. We talk about having today. But the truth of the matter is, think about this for a moment. I actually just have right now. I cannot extend beyond this time. And while I was saying that, another moment passed in my life. And you know what? You know what that means? That I'm getting closer to getting away from the physical. that I'm more like Paul. I'm now thinking about in terms of the spiritual. And I'm thinking, well, you know what, one of these days I'm going to give up this old earthly body that has its problems and has its things. And I'm hoping for a eternal one in the heavens. You see, all this goes away because I don't need to be worried about these things. Because I don't even know. Do you? Because let me tell you something. When it comes down to it, there's 2 days we should never worry about. Yesterday and tomorrow. You ever thought about that? I can't do a thing about yesterday. Oh, but you know, I did some things wrong yesterday. Did you ask God for forgiveness as a Christian? Yes. Okay, I'm good. Don't even worry about it. You can't do a thing about that. What are you going to do? Now, if you offended someone, you know you did, go talk to them, sure. But you can't do anything about those things. What about tomorrow? I don't even know if tomorrow's going to come. And you know what? I've never lived a tomorrow in my life. I never have. It's always been right now. And it's a hard lesson for me to learn. And again, we were studying this in the book of Colossians, talking about buying out our time. It is important that we have it right now. It was given to us. But in some respects, we have to, if you will, buy it back. We have to do what God says. That makes our lives invaluable, and we can make something out of them. And if we don't live one day at a time, I'll miss today's blessings. You ever got something on your mind? Oh, wait a second. When you get something on your mind, everybody's done this, and you start thinking about it in the morning, and you're trying to get it out of your mind, and you're thinking, I need to get that out of my mind, because it's a negative. And you know it is. And you know that it's going to drag you down, and you just want that out of your mind. It's kind of like getting a song in your head, and you know, you're singing it all day long, and you don't even know why. It's one of those things. But you know what happens when we do that? We just miss all the blessings of the day. I mean, when we get up, and we look out, and we see all the beauty of what we actually have today, and that's what we're promised right now, why wouldn't we look at that? As we drove through many, many states this last couple weeks, whenever it was, when we drove through those states, every state I went in, and we even went through a state of confusion a couple times, but every state that I went through, I looked around and I saw all the beauty of what God's created. And every time I went through there, I thought, wow, this is different from the last one. There's some similarities sometimes, but then it's totally different. God just blessed us with such beauty and so many blessings. And then you look around in the van we happened to be driving in, and there was 3 other blessings in there. But the greatest blessing of all was wherever He dwells, which is with me. And that's a blessing. And I'll miss that if I don't understand it. And you know, I can't solve today's problems or tomorrow's problems with today's resources. I can't do it. I have resources today to do what I need to do. He's given me all these things that I talked about. He's given me all these physical blessings. He's given me all these spiritual blessings. He's given me all these things. And regardless of how hard I try, I cannot do a thing about tomorrow with the resources I have today. It is today that I use what I have to the best of my ability. That's why I'm up here. You let me be up here one more day. Roger Senior or Junior said he didn't know if I was fired or not, but I did have this one more day to come and be able to talk to you, so I appreciate that. God gave me just enough power to deal with the day. That's all He gave me. Today. Today I've got to make the most of it. Today I've got the strength to make it through it. Why? Because I can talk to Him, I can turn it over to Him, and I can make it through today. And that's all I need. You ever notice He said, when you pray to God, teaching His disciples how to pray, give us this day our daily bread. What about tomorrow? Sufficient, the day is the trouble, you know, the troubles that come with it. Just handle today. Let Him help you with it. Let Him take care of it for you. He can take care of anything. He's been doing it forever. God has no struggles with this whatsoever. Any being that can create all this so perfectly and create us has no problem with doing anything else He desires to do. And He gives us enough to totally trust in Him. How much is that? Well, I don't know. I'll tell you this much. There's people in other countries that have very little and they trust in God totally. There's people in this country who have a whole lot and they don't. So He's given us enough. Whatever it might be, I don't know how much that is, but I know it's enough that we should totally trust Him. Just like Paul said, little, much, doesn't really matter. Trust in God. Third one, trust in God to care for the things we cannot control. Are there things in life we can't control? Absolutely. Turn on the news. I can't control things that are happening everywhere. I just can't do it. You know what? All I can do is just sit down and ask God, handle this situation. I know you will. Thank you. Matthew 6:30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you? What if I need clothing? I'll tell you what. I am confident in my brothers and sisters in Christ that through them, God will bless me with clothing if I need it. I believe if I lost everything that I have brothers and sisters in Christ would stand up and give me what I need, don't you? I believe that they would share with me even if they didn't have as much as they wanted at that moment, don't you? You know who set that up? Not me. God. God made it clear that that would happen. Trust in God completely. You see, worry and trust aren't in the same sentence. When I went to my dad and I trusted him to do what was best, I was not concerned. I will tell you what, though, and I want to put this caveat in there. I never, ever wanted to face my dad when I knew I had done wrong and I was going to get in trouble for it. I was overly anxious because I knew what was going to happen. But as long as I did good, I didn't have to worry about that, and he would take care of me. Where he never paid one bill. Oh, I don't have enough money this month to make my bills. Well, just worry about it. See if that helps. See if that will really do it for you. It never cured one disease. As a matter of fact, it makes diseases worse. We found out that this is a common thread through different things that people have. That's scientific. It never corrected one child. Oh, I wonder what my children will be like when they grow up. Won't do you any good. Train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Pray about it. And then they'll make the decision. You have nothing to do with it. You did the best you could. You can only do what you need to do. You have to do that. It's never brought one person home safely. You ever sat up at night wondering? People used to ask me when your daughter or your son, Bill, when they went out, didn't you settle? No. No. I never stayed up. I thought, I can't do a thing about it. If I get a phone call, I'll go help take care of it. But you know what? God, I had to depend on Him. When our kids go out, that's it. We have to ask God. And then just leave it alone. Go to sleep. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. It's never changed the weather. Sit there and wonder, is that tornado going to hit my house? Well, I tell you what, you can worry about that until you're blue in the face. If a tornado comes through, it doesn't really matter. You might as well just enjoy it. My brother-in-law and I sat out on the porch one time and we heard the noise overhead. I must have said something wrong, but you can correct me later. But it doesn't do any good. I'm telling you right now, you can worry about those things all you want to. It will not do any good. And you know what's really important? It never forgave one sin. You can worry about that all you want to. Whether you're not a Christian, just take care of it. If you're a Christian, take care of it. God gave us the avenue. Why wouldn't we trust Him to take care of it? If God makes a promise, He'll keep it. And I'll tell you something else. It never, ever brought one person to Christ. So what do I do with all that? These are things I can't. I do the best I can with all of these things and then I turn it over. Did you notice when we were studying in the book of Colossians today what Paul asked them to pray for him for? Who were they talking to? God. What? To open doors of opportunity for him. To make sure that he was able to teach the gospel. He couldn't do it. He was locked up. He could not get out. But he wanted those doors open so he could teach. Who could do that? God. And he did. And that's amazing to me. But what if Paul just sat there in his gloom and doom and didn't do a thing? You see, faith, obedience, and prayer will. And I would argue these go together. We need them in our life. And to be obedient, we follow what Christ said and we don't worry. So how can we learn to trust God more? Well, don't panic. Pray. Bad things come. They're going to come. What do? Pray. Don't guess at, okay, maybe, possibly, pick up His Word. Look at it. What does it say? I'm going to tell you what. It is an amazing book. The more I read it, the more I understand how powerful this book is. It is the most powerful book on this earth, by far. Verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. Don't guess about it. Pick it up. Look at it. What's He promised? What did He say His will was? Don't ask Him for things He said He won't answer. Ask Him for things He said He would answer. Don't miss out. Meditate. Psalmist David said, 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walks not in counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the way of sinners, or stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. This is where I get my answers. This is the most beautiful book in the world. I get every answer I need from this. And don't doubt. Commit His promises to our heart. God has never failed on one promise. In Hebrews 8:6, through this new covenant, we have exceedingly great promises. Promises greater than any covenant He's ever made with humankind. You know why? Because it was sealed with blood. And every time we talk, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats take away sin. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. He's not talking about, I'm going to run down and they're going to take a little blood out of me. He's talking about death. It took the death of that animal. They had to drain the blood out of the animal. And in essence, that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. And that's what He's trying to point out to us. It took His life to make this covenant. I didn't make this covenant. You ever go to a car dealer or something and they've got a covenant already written out for you, and if you do this, this, and this, then you'll get this, and watch out for this, and if you didn't do this, this is for... And after a while you go, I don't know. Is there anything valuable in there at all? I don't know. And you go to them and they go, oh, yeah, that's not covered. Everything I've ever had seemed like it wasn't covered. I didn't understand that. But you know, this one covers it all. But you know what I had to do to get some of those coverages with that automobile? We understand this. If I didn't do certain things, if I didn't take care of that vehicle a certain way, they wouldn't cover it. What about His? Hebrews 9:11-18, but Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not physical, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, He is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. He sealed it. He said, I will give my life for my words, and then I will give my life for your sins. And that's the covenant I make with you. And if you do a few things, I'll take care of them all. For the redemptions of the transgressions under the first covenant, He took care of their sins, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead. That's what the shedding of blood was about. It became effective at His death. Since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, on those therefores, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. He said, it is not you, Abe, to negotiate with God and say, I would like this. He said, it is up to God to set that. Rules and regulations and how you can obtain all these promises and have all these things and have the great privilege of going to Him. As Christians, Jesus has released us from sin. Just released us totally. We have no need to worry about that. And we have no right to worry about that. We can just simply say, okay, I've done things wrong. So what do? I pray. I pray. I pray. I ask His forgiveness, and I know that He will do that. But now let me ask you, have you been released from the bondage of sin to walk in newness of life? It has to be a new life. If not, this is the one time I'm going to tell you, start worrying. Be overly concerned. If you don't do what God says, fear not Him and destroy the body, but fear Him and destroy both body and soul in hell. Because of this. You see, we're going to get some wages. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you have any needs, we certainly would be glad to assist you in any way we can. Would you please stand?